When for public participation, come up and state your name. Before you start talking, be sworn in.
State your name and address, and I'll swear you.
Name and address, and then be sworn in.
My name is Ed Berger. I live at 9402 Amherst Avenue in Margate.
Mr. Berger, you swear affirm this testimony about to give me the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I've sat here for the last couple of hours. My home is directly across the street from Integrity Marine and on a diagonal to the development that's being proposed here tonight. I doubt that I'm going to be as artful in making my points as Mr. Ponzio was, but I have to take issue with a number of them. I also don't envy the board tonight, because I think that what you have to do tonight is to cast the mold on the way you want what little remaining waterfront is left in the city of Margate. Now that the beaches have been totally built up with the dunes and you can't see the ocean from the streets of Margate, this very small three-block area is now the remaining area where people, John Q. Public, who doesn't own a waterfront home, can actually go wander down the street and see the beach, or see the ocean, or see the bay. So tonight, for the first time, we get a look at the first suggestion of what's the best way for someone to develop some of this area. By the way, let me just make a point that the Harbor Vista Homeowners Association, which I'm a part of, and there are other members here tonight, are happy that there is development plans for across the street from us. We are tired of looking at Captain Andy's, and we're tired of looking at Integrity Marine. We know that these two buildings are eyesores, and we know that they should be developed. We know that they were distressed properties and nobody wanted them for a while, and we're very happy that developers came along and want to invest their money across the street from us. The question is what form does that investment take? Does it take form so they get their highest and best use for them, but the question is their highest and best use the best for the neighborhood, and is it best for the neighbors? At what cost do we develop these 50-foot high buildings, which is certainly not something that we have any control over right now because of the regulations? At what point do we take these 50-foot tall buildings and say, what do they look like? That's what I think we're here to discuss tonight. And I don't envy your position, because truthfully, there's going to be more development on Amherst Avenue. Whatever you go to tonight, I mean, a lot of the heavy lifting for what's going to be going on Amherst Avenue is going on here tonight. It's the first one. The other properties that are up and down Amherst Avenue will probably follow the lead of what occurs here tonight. So you've got another building that you'll be hearing about shortly, as you know, that's being considered for development. You've got the restaurant and area over by Junior's, which with the new zoning can now also become a 50-foot tall development, certainly within the rights of that owner to do that. You have Blue Water Marina up the street the other way, who, although they have a small footprint, is now in a position with the new zoning to put up a 50-foot building. What do you want Margate to look like on this remaining part of the waterfront that's left for us? The very small area that's left for everyone who lives in the area and walks through the area and the people that visit there. What do you want them to see? And I don't envy you guys, because it's a pretty building. But is it the right thing, and is it the right stone and the right mold that you want to cast here tonight? As we get into some of the issues, the individual issues that were brought up by the experts that the developer that Sean's working with has here tonight, I guess the 300-pound gorilla that was in the room immediately was the parking issue. And I found it interesting that although I like Rich was following Art along and felt like he was almost doing a public service by the time he was done by adding a restaurant to the area and putting more pressure on it. But yet, when he comes to town himself to go to the restaurant, make sure that he's not driving his own car. My feeling as the person who sits on the front porch of my own townhouse, the second one in from Sophia's, is that any kind of addition of pressure to the parking on that four-block area without some sort of consideration, some sort of off-site consideration taken by the developer, is completely disregarding the needs of the community and the needs of the existing residents that are in the area and the people that want to come into the area as well. I can agree with Art on one point, that the parking spots do start filling up very early in the morning with fishermen, but then throughout the course of the day, it's very rare to see an open spot during season, and certainly the traffic patterns and the gridlock that occurs out on Amherst Avenue in that 3 or 4 block area from 6 o'clock at night until sometimes 1 o'clock in the morning is nonstop. What you're suggesting, again, is by opening up this restaurant, which, by the way, we don't know what the hours are going to be. We don't know what they're going to be serving. We don't know what kind of music they're going to be playing. We don't know how late the bar is going to be open. We don't know how loud it's going to be. All of the issues that the neighbors have. What's the situation that goes along with the business? We think that as part of you approving a building that is intended to be used as a restaurant, where you're being asked to issue significant variances, that these are questions that need to be answered first. You're entitled to have that information, and we think that we as neighbors are entitled to have it also. So if we try and move past the parking issue and move to there's so many things here to talk about tonight. The promenade, which I think that everybody on Amherst who lives there thinks is a great idea. We think that connecting it would be a great idea. This, unfortunately, I guess, is going to be one of those phased-in projects, kind of like we phased in the streetscaping on Ventnor Avenue, where a block got done and then nothing got done for 2 or 3 or 4 years, and then another block got done and then nothing got done for another 2 or 3 or 4 years. If we're going to, give the developer the license to move his cars out 3 feet into the right-of-way because there's a space to do there in order to put the promenade out in front of the building, I mean, I think that's great if the project is in place to run the promenade from the beachfront where it is intended to start down to Lamberti's where it's intended to end. I don't have a problem with it. A 4-foot-wide or 5-foot-wide promenade, I think, would be something that everyone would welcome. This, however, is not the case. We're going to have 40 feet of promenade, and then we might have another 30 feet of promenade maybe by the end of next summer, and then who knows by when is the rest of it going to be developed.
Ed, we don't know when the promenade's coming. We have a master plan to design it. If he doesn't incorporate it into his building, there'll never be a promenade there. So any development that goes along, we are insisting that they incorporate the promenade, so when the promenade is finally done, and the city's... there's going to be grants. This is a long-time project.
I understand.
We don't stop it right here. There will never be a promenade. So it's not just a 40-foot promenade. It's where the promenade is going to be. This assures that it will be in front of this property.
Rich, does the city have a plan for the city property to have the promenade initiated?
Yes.
Yes, it's been drawn. It's been lighted. It's been everything, but it's
funded?
All concept.
Not funded?
Not funded.
Not funded.
Not funded.
Okay.
But if we let this, if we don't incorporate this part into it, how are we going to have a continuous promenade unless we force this person and the two other properties there, when they're modified, they have to incorporate the promenade.
Okay.
The Marin commissioners are very actively pursuing, and I'm sure Commissioner Amadeo would tell you, grant money right now to do that.
Terrific. As I said, the neighbors, by and large, I mean, you know, we want to do anything we can. We want to be in favor of things that enhance our neighborhood. You know,
there are drawings and concepts. This
I've
is available
it.
To you.
I've seen. No, I've seen.
See
it.
Okay.
Yeah, I know what it's supposed to look like when it's finished, Rich. I do. I know.
Ed, it's my fault that the building has to be 10 feet out of the ground because of the flood. It's FEMA.
No. I understand
why it's such a high structure.
We understand why the structure has to be so high.
It's mandatory that the bottom lowest vertical member can't be any lower because of flood.
Jimmy, I understand that, and when the building
we beat him up so bad. That's why the tape is on the building.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to build that high. He would have been happy to have it at grade level.
I'm quite sure.
You know, that's why it took a year just to come out of the ground.
And when we heard that there were plans going up across the street, we knew that those buildings were going to be 50 feet tall. We knew they are. And we know that because of the code that there's nothing we can do about it. But the only thing that we voice our displeasure about, and this is not misdirected, by the way, we know we're going to lose our views. I mean, it's gone already. And I know that the value of my property, you know, has just dropped $100,000, you know. And it sure does.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
All right,
I don't want to get into crosstalk.
We don't want to argue here.
I understand.
You state your point. We have a lot of other people
I
want to talk to.
I know you do.
And also, anyone else from your organization, Everyone's welcome to talk, but don't come up and repeat what he said, please. If anyone comes to talk, please add something new that we haven't heard.
Okay, let me get back to one or two more things, and I promise I'll let somebody else get up here. To revisit the parking, I also have read the master plan, and in every section of the master plan, it states very specifically about the problems that we're having with the parking overall in the city. It leaves, you know, if you get into the first section under the land use policy, it says that we need to enhance the waterfront special district, certainly, and the end of that sentence is, and address the parking issues. In the circulation policy, it states very specifically about the problems that we have throughout the city and in this area for parking. In the economic policy, it says, again, the problems that we're having with parking in the area. So why would we exasperate this problem any further by allowing someone to come in and bring in another business of a 150-table restaurant without at least having some sort of plan to satisfy or relieve some of this additional parking pressure that they're bringing to bear? So does a developer need to get off-site parking? If you say he does, he does. Or he can have the four spots that are out where, but...
Ed, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
As the Margate Business Association president...
That's not who I'm here as tonight.
What would you like to see done with the old Captain Andy's?
Craig, you really can't ask that question.
Yeah,
at least preface it differently. He is not speaking for the Morgan.
No, I'm absolutely not speaking for the associations. I'm speaking for myself.
Okay,
as a business person, what would I like to see done there? I think the last thing I'd do there was open a restaurant when somebody tried to open two restaurants next door in the last 3 years and failed. I mean, I think that's one thing that I would make a point of as a personal business person. But so in all cases, you know, if you're going to follow the rules or the direction of the master plan in every single case in the master plan and everything except for the sustainability section of the master plan, it focused on the importance of parking in the city and not putting any additional pressure on it, looking for solutions, not adding to it. So the parking aspect is something I'm deeply concerned about. Not knowing what's going to happen with the restaurant as far as the hours it's going to be operating, the type of restaurant that's being operated in there, whether or not there's going to be loud music on the deck at night until 4 o'clock in the morning, whether they're going to have to shut down the music like Sophia has to at midnight because she's adjacent to a residential area is something that I'd like to know about before the city goes ahead and grants variances of convenience to a developer. I mean, even Art, when he was asked before as an engineer whether or not he thought that there was a hardship involved in these things, he didn't quite get around to saying, you know, under oath that there was a hardship for these. So you have a lot of choices to make tonight. Like I said, I don't envy you for having to make them. It's a tough decision. You know, I myself, you know, spend a lot of time volunteering for the city to try and make sure that Margate's a better place tomorrow, you know, than it is today without doing any damage. I've been doing it for 10 years, and I know a lot of you guys have been doing this for a long time, too. So I hope you'll take my comments into consideration. Understand that the people over at Harbor Vista feel very sincerely that we would like to see some sort of development across the street. We're pleased that developers are interested in it, and we hope that you guys, truly hope that you guys, have the foresight, strength, and understanding of the needs of the people in the neighborhood when steering the developers that are going to be submitting plans to you like the plans that are submitted tonight. Thank you very much.
One question. Yes, sir. You and your other neighbors...
Mr. Berger, you and your other neighbors at Harbor Vista have off-street parking for your units, yeah, correct?
The off-street parking for our units are behind our houses, and as a result of that, during not even peak hours, during regular hours, because of the pressure down there, we have a regular stream of cars, of people that don't own there. But running behind our home on a regular basis.
It's your parking underneath, correct?
I do have a garage.
So this project isn't taking your parking because you already have it at the Harbor Vista, correct?
No, it is not taking my parking spot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Berger. Next.
Good evening. My name is Ray Romito. I live at 9408 Amherst Avenue.
And do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. First of all, I'd like to say my displeasure about the comment that was made about the downtrodden area. Feel free to come to my home, have a glass of wine or Diet Coke, and tell me if my home is downtrodden in that particular area. I take exception to that. I also want to congratulate Mr. Ponzio for a fine job in his presentation. I, as a very successful salesperson, appreciated his presentation. I knew what he did, so kudos to him. My issue is very similar to what Ed said, but what I didn't hear from anyone, and this is my concern, is that if you bring that building out, and I hope Mr. Gormley is very successful. I think he's a great man. I've only met him a couple times, but I wish him nothing but the great success. However, what you're saying over here by bringing these properties to the line, to zero, let's say, what are we going to do about the traffic? And we have an expert over here. But what about the practicality of it all? That's my question. And if you take away all that space, where are the handicapped people going to take their wheelchairs or their walkers or the young people that are going to ride their bicycles? Because now you're bringing that whole street much narrow. And all we need to have is to have one child, maybe your child, maybe my child, get hit by a car because he or she didn't have a sidewalk. And you know what? We're going to have a problem with the city because someone's going to put a major lawsuit. And that's my concern. So I'm thinking about the people over here and about the handicapped people. We want everyone to enjoy that area, not just people who have two healthy legs, but people in wheelchairs, walkers, bicycles, strollers, to enjoy it. And if you go all the way out to the street, I hope that nothing happens to any of those people over there. Thank you for your time.
But can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
There is no sidewalk there now. Why are you? I don't understand your
because
point.
If we build these additional businesses,
we're providing a sidewalk on the other side of the
island, but
it doesn't exist.
If you look at from Juniors all the way down, you had mentioned earlier about the planters. If you see the people walking down and then they have to go out now in front of that building onto the street, there may be an issue. And that is my concern.
But on this property, they're alleviating that issue by directing the people back along the bulkhead so they won't be walking in the street like they do in front of Juniors.
You'd be surprised. What about the people with their bicycles that want to ride the street? What about the moms who want to push their child in a stroller on a sidewalk? There are a lot of different things to consider. And my concern is this. I know we're going to have an open area in the back. I hope that there would be a sign that says open to the public. Because a lot of times people are going to see that and say, I can't go there. Because they'll assume that that's not open to the public. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Rich, is there a sidewalk in front of Lamberti's?
Yes, but the street's narrower. The sidewalk's where the street would be here.
Okay.
It's about, I think, like 10 feet smaller street when you get
there. And
down.
Can I ask Mr. Zeltner, is there a liquor license, or will there be a liquor license, or do we know if there's a liquor license associated?
There's no liquor license currently, but there may be.
Are they opting to try to get a liquor license?
Yes.
Yes.
Can I ask a question? Has the developer tried to secure any property in the area for parking?
Okay. There was a brief question to Mr. Gormley. He hasn't been sworn in. As to whether the applicant tried to secure parking, do you want to come up and answer that? I mean, I think the testimony, or did you want to just address that? Has the applicant tried to secure parking?
Okay. No. The answer's no.
Splitting hairs.
Still in
pub?
Yes.
Nobody else in the pub?
No, we're not done yet. Was your question answered?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I think we're ready for next.
Anyone else from the public? State your name and be sworn in, please.
My name is Rick DeLucre. I'm an attorney with Cooper Levinson.
Speak into the microphone, please.
Rick DeLucre. I'm an attorney with Cooper Levinson, and I'm here tonight representing Rat Pack LLC, which owns the adjoining property, Juniors. To my left is Lynn Fox. Lynn's one of the principals. And what I'd like to do is just put out one issue, which I don't think has been addressed yet, and which we'd like to hear the applicant and the board address as appropriate, and then Lynn will follow up with a little bit of the perspective of why we're asking this question. And the question is, what is the applicant's proposed construction schedule? And there's a lot of assumptions because one doesn't know how quickly you're going to get all the approvals you need, but it's possible when you play it out that they could have in hand all the approvals that are needed as early as the earlier middle part of May, which if you go right into the project then has you doing the construction work during the summer. And there's a concern that if the construction did begin during the summer, I'm speaking exclusively of the proposed demolition of the building, you would have basically an active construction site. You would have pile driving. You'd have a lot of vehicles, a lot of dust, commotion, the usual things that attend any construction site of scale. And that, we're concerned, would be really disruptive to Junior's business and probably to the neighborhood as a whole.
Can you address that, Mr. Galantino?
There's no restriction on that. The demolition, if it's down by June 15th, then it's...
So you can't demolish after June 15th?
The moratorium.
That's on demolition.
But there's nothing about construction. The hours are 7 to 6.
Does the applicant have a timetable as far as where they might stand with CAFRA if best case scenario from their perspective if it gets approved?
Art, we've applied. We're still waiting for approvals. But Art can probably give a little bit more color on that.
Someone just said it's a bit of an unknown. We're say 3 to 5 months out. Board of Engineers, CAFRA, and Water Fund Development. So 3 to 5 months. That's the plan that we did it right now.
What about demolition of the building if you're approved?
We can demolish the building.
Okay.
We could theoretically demolish that now. We're okay with demolishing it.
Well, that's one. That's one noise source that'll be gone.
If you do that, obviously, you need the ordinance.
Would the intention be, if you got approvals in July, to start immediately?
To proceed as soon as we could.
Okay.
That bulkhead needs to be replaced ASAP.
As soon as the building comes down, the bulkhead more or less might collapse. So that's
going to
happen immediately.
All right.
Second? Yeah, bulkhead first. In a sequence, demo, bulkhead, foundation, construction, maybe tanks, and whatnot, and then right to the superstructure.
I think, Mr. DeLippio, your name, DeLippio?
Yes.
I think the bulkhead has to be replaced because if we don't, we're going to lose our street.
Yeah, and we had the opportunity to talk to some of the applicants' professionals during the course of tonight's meeting, and we understand that the bulkhead is the beginning point. And I'm, again, making the assumptions that all of the approvals could be in place as early as May. Maybe it drifts into the summer. And the bulkhead repair would not seem, by its nature, to be as much of a concern to the ongoing summer operations of the businesses in that area. But once you get past that, once you have an active construction site on the upland portion, whether or not they're doing the docks at the same time, it's going to be disruptive, especially if you have a business, as Lynn's going to talk about in a second, where you do have a significant portion of your business is outside during the summertime.
But I don't think this board has any authority over when they can construct or not construct.
Yes, but no. What we would ask is, to the extent the applicant can do it, and because it hasn't been discussed, I don't know what matter of flexibility or what range of flexibility they might have, but we would like for the board to engage them in a discussion of what measures might be taken voluntarily and then maybe imposed as conditions to limit, to minimize the more disruptive characteristics of the construction should it happen that everything comes into place for them so that they're ready to go at the beginning of summer and would, but for some voluntary restriction, be operating throughout the summer season.
With that in mind, Ben, do you know how long construction would expect it to take once it begins till it's open?
About a year. Obviously, we're trying to make...
I understand, but the point being at that point is if they wait till September, October to start construction, they miss the entire following season. So,
and they'll be constructing during the following season.
Right, exactly. There'll be construction in the following summer. So one way or the other, you haven't been sworn in yet. One way or the other, it's going to be 12 months of construction. So I don't see what difference it makes when it starts or when it finishes. I don't know. You'll get your chance.
Yeah.
I don't want to forget.
That's okay. Okay, we'll be sworn in very quickly. State your name and address, please.
Lynn Vox, and I operate Juniors at 9315 Amherst Avenue.
Okay, and do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth,
yes,
nothing
absolutely.
But the truth?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Now, what I was going to say is, but the construction next year, next season, will be in a different phase and won't be piles being driven down and some shaking and vibrations and dust. We have people who eat outside. I have children. It's mostly children. I'm a little worried, you know. I listened to a lot today. I didn't come with any preconceived notions. I met Sean. We had some nice conversations. I learned more today than I knew before. I learned my electric pole is going to be removed. That was a little disconcerting for about 30 seconds. I heard with the other applications that safety is a big concern, you know, so, and I trust you all to look out for our citizens, but I just felt that I, you know, needed to say that, I don't want to repeat myself, but I have people outside and children, and I'm concerned about the heavy construction that occurs in the beginning, so.
Thank you. Anyone else from the audience? Public portion is closed. Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
Two more.
All right.
You've already been sworn
already
in?
Sworn.
Yes, I have.
Yep.
Yeah, Joe Swift. Joseph Swift, and I'm a lifelong Margate resident. I've seen the plans. I think this is a beautiful project. I know Mark, the builder, and Sean, and I think Margate's very fortunate to have, you know, this team of people who have the foresight and the resources to actually put something like this together. Because anyone could buy this property, patch it up, and, you know, open up for business. But this is going to be something that is going to be a continued renaissance for Margate. Because I think we can all remember when Carmen bought Tomatoes. That was the beginning of the renaissance. And then Sophia's continued with that. Maynard's fixed their place up. They've done a lot of nice things. So Margate is headed in the right direction, I think. This is going to be the next level for Margate. This is going to send Margate to the next level that you see, you know, in California, you see in Southern Florida. So I'm very proud to be, you know, part of this, and proud to know these people putting this together. And also myself and my brothers and sisters, we also own a marina in Margate and Jerome Avenue. And I think this is a great asset for Margate because, as Mr. Ponzio said, there's no place to get gas right now in Margate. If you want to go get gas, you have to go over to Seaview Harbor or up to Atlantic City or Summers Point. So there's a lot of boaters in Margate, a lot of fishermen, a lot of jet skis. So this is going to be a tremendous asset, especially the bait shop. It'll be very nice to take your family, kids, grandchildren on the boat, get off on a nice floating dock, use the bait shop, the bathroom, go get a burger, something to eat. It's going to be great. And I think Ms. Pelosi brought up a great point about the bike rack. So I think you guys should definitely put a bike rack, because I think I'll probably be riding my bike there with the kids. So that's the only condition, all right?
You need two bike racks.
Right, yeah, for us. All right, thanks a lot. Good luck.
Other than the bike rack, how would you, if you're going out with your wife, how would you plan to get to...
it's not being recorded.
What's wrong?
It's not being
you got to talk in a microphone.
Mr. Schiff, other than biking there, how would you get to and from the restaurant here if you're taking your wife and friends?
If we're going to go out at night, my wife and I, we have the Uber app. So like everyone else of our generation, I think that's definitely what everyone's doing. So Uber, bike, taxi, that's certainly the parking there, everyone knows, is an issue. That's part of the attraction to the bayfront area, that whole district there. So I don't think that's going to be a concern. I think the impact here is going to be very marginal for what it's going to bring to Margate, to the whole community. Thank you.
Thank you.
State name and address, please.
Barbara Beck, 9408 Amherst Avenue.
And you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
I would like to ask some of these people that have given testimony tonight, exactly at what time have they ridden their bikes to have dinner during the summer on Amherst Avenue? I would love to see a parade of bicycles come down the street with the hordes of traffic that are out there, because I don't see a lot of people riding their bicycles to dinner at night. Please keep that in mind. There are a lot of things that could happen, but do they happen? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? One more?
How you doing? Steve Triana from Maynard's Cafe, Margate, obviously.
Steve, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
First of all, I'd like to congratulate Sean. I think it's going to be a beautiful project. There's always been parking problems in Margate. Obviously, I could take it back to 1960 when my dad built Gables. There was no parking at all. But I also have concern for my neighbors, and I wish them all the luck in the world. And there's going to be a problem, but I think we could alleviate a lot of the problems. There is a lot of bike traffic. Whatever you said was a little different, but we get a ton of bikes at night. And I was telling Mr. Gormley, at 10, 11 o'clock at night, I mean, we have our dinner hour, and we do get a lot of kids, and it's a lot of bikes. But at 11 o'clock at night, you could shoot a cannon down Amherst Avenue. I am the number one Uber pickup in South Jersey, number two. Borgata beat us out by one. So we encourage people not to drink and not to drive. And you'll see on a certain busy night, there'll be 10 Ubers sitting down the street waiting for a phone call. That's our concern, is the drinking and driving. Parking is always going to be a problem. But yet, I agree with Mr. Berger and the other neighbors, and I feel for them, just like anything else I would do. I'm very concerned about my neighbors. But I think the project's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a lot better than it looks now. I think it's a long time coming, and I just wish Mr. Gromley all the luck in the world.
Thank you.
Next. Going once. Public portion is closed. Any other further comments or questions from the board?
Yes. So I know that the mic is on. I think the project is beautiful. I know that Tomatoes has a parking lot. I know that Sophia's was forced at some point
to
acquire a parking lot. Yeah, at gunpoint. Roger Rubin's gunpoint.
Is that what you said?
No, at some point.
Oh, at some point.
At gunpoint. That's before you were on the board. That's before he was on the board. I know Lamberti's has a parking lot. I know there's a city lot on Washington Avenue. Have we thought about... I know you can buy property somewhere close by to facilitate off-street parking, or there you can find something. I don't know if we could valet it, if we consider valet parking to the city lot, which closes at 10, and maybe the city could extend those hours. I'm just trying to think of alternatives. I want, you know, other than starting a rickshaw business, or I'm trying to think of an alternative, because I think there's a lot of traffic, and I realize Margate has a parking problem. I lived here, I grew up here, I'm in business here. But I'm trying to think of a way to alleviate that, and I know that the other restaurants did acquire parking. So I'm just putting that out there. Has there any consideration been given to that?
That question was to you, Mr. Zeltner.
Or something to alleviate that number 58, 56, whatever it is.
Right now, we don't believe there's any parking available. So that's zoned. So no consideration's been looked at.
Anyone else on the board? Mr. Manos, would you read the motion?
Sure. Before we do that, I do want to make reference. There's been some testimony about this 3x100 stripping the Amherst Avenue right away, and it's mentioned in Roger's report. Did get a letter this afternoon dated February 22nd, 2018 from the mayor. I'll just read it into the record. Dear Planning Board members, please accept this letter on behalf of the governing body, the City of Margate, to confirm that the applicant, Harbor Bay LLC, has permission to include as part of its application before Margate Planning Board the area located in the Amherst Avenue right away, being 3x100 for the project site. This authorization is for the purposes of allowing the applicant to move forward with its application and in no way binds the City of Margate to sell, lease, or license the subject area. The governing body requests that the board consider the application to include this strip of land and that you provide your opinion and advice concerning the applicant's request to include this area as part of the project site. And it's signed by Mayor Becker. So I just wanted that as part of the record. We kind of alluded to that right away issue. And in framing the motion, before I do so, it's going to be, just so everyone's aware, it's going to be a long motion. So it's going to be for preliminary and final major site plan approval, a number of C variances, which I'll go through at some length. That'll take me a little bit. And then the only waiver request is for the traffic impact study. And then there'll be a number of conditions, which I'll mention at the end. And then, Roger, just briefly, before I frame the motion, in your report on page 4, just the two front, what's the difference between those one and two? One's to the building. Sorry, I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Don't forget the fence, too.
Yeah, I know.
No, it was just a one, 25.7 to zero.
To zero, okay. That's okay. And we have 9 members voting. We'll need 5 affirmative votes. So what we'll need is a motion for preliminary and final major site plan approval, together with the following C variances: a front yard setback to the building of 0 feet, where 10 feet is required; a side yard setback on the left side of 3.5 feet, where 8 feet is required; a side yard setback on the right side of 2.5 feet, where 8 feet is required; a side yard setback to the deck on the left side of 3.5 feet where 8 feet is required; combined side yard setback of 6 feet where 20 feet is required; parking variance for where 60 spaces are required and 4 are proposed; and there's a number of sign variances for the style of the sign, where our ordinance permits only wall or fascia signs and a roof-mounted signs proposed. For the number of signs facing a street, the ordinance permits 1, and they are proposing 2. For the maximum size of a sign facing parking, the maximum permitted is 12 square feet, and they are proposing 62.91 square feet. Then there's a variance for the maximum number of signs facing parking, where 1 is permitted and 2 are proposed. And then there's a variance for the sign, for the distance between the sign and the siding and the side of the building, where the minimum distance is 10% of the linear frontage in feet, which is about 9 feet. And 3 of the signs, sign numbers 2, 3, and 4, are proposed to be less than 9 feet. And there's a variance for fence height, where 8 feet is proposed and 4 feet is the permitted maximum. The waiver request is from the submission of a traffic impact study. And the conditions will be that the applicant will satisfy all other checklist items in the Remington and Verdict report, dated February 2nd, 2018, with the exception of that one waiver that I just mentioned for the traffic impact study. The applicant will comply with all general review comments in the Remington Vernick report, dated February 2nd, 2008. The applicant will comply with all representations it made during the course of the hearing, and the applicant will comply with any other conditions set forth in the Remington and Verdict report, dated February 2nd, 2008, and Mr. McLaren's report, dated February 21st, 2018, February 2nd, 2018, and February 21st, 2018, I think I said 2008, unless they were addressed or already modified on the record during the course of the hearing. And as the board always does, state the reasons for your vote as best as possible.
Matt, if I could add one thing.
Sure.
The recommendation to the governing body for the 3x100-foot strip part of the resolution.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a condition.
I mean, that's sort of a it's a condition.
Condition.
It's suggesting that we make a recommendation as how to handle it. I look at it as more as between the applicant and the city as to what the city is willing to give you. I mean, unless I'm missing something.
Mm-hmm. Right. The planning board doesn't have the jurisdiction to.
Oh, certainly not to grant, but to recommend. I believe you do have that power.
Sure. I mean, we can certainly recommend that. What are you suggesting? I mean, it's in the testimony. They're going to have to work something out as a condition of approval to the satisfaction of the city, whether it's a lease, whether it's the vacation.
That'll be fine.
Okay.
That'll be fine.
All right. So amended and
I made the motion.
And I second.
Tom Collins.
I know I've said this a few times when it comes to this particular area, but this board up here spent collectively an awful lot of time over the last couple of years working with some of the professionals we heard tonight to develop a master plan that was going to be good for the city, not just today, but 50 years out. This project here fits that plan. It enhances the neighborhood. It is going to stimulate growth in Margate. It's going to stimulate Margate being a community that we want to be. Mark did an excellent design. I couldn't have envisioned anything better than what you've done right there. And through the course of the master plan, every time we put in about the parking, CIO handled the parking the way we're talking about handling the parking. They're going to eliminate parking because you just can't get it. We can't make a floating garage. We can't make our land any bigger. And trying to buy $1 million homes to put up a parking lot doesn't work. If a business is to succeed, you guys are going to have to find a way to accommodate your parking. If you don't, you won't succeed. But that's a business decision. I think the impact, I think the hardship here is that most of our ordinances don't really apply. Like a corner lot, you've got the bay. So you're asking for variances on the bay that really are designed for on the land. And I think that's very de minimis. And I think it's a shame that you have to do that. And the aesthetically, the signs and just the way you're laying the whole thing out, it's very tasteful. And I think it's really going to be good for what we're looking to do. So I vote in favor.
Clem Wozleski.
Well, I wonder how many of the applicants, experts have spent a lot of time on a summer evening on Amherst Avenue along the bay. I know there have been times when I've driven down there with my wife to go to dinner, and after riding around for a while, not finding a parking place within 3 or 4 blocks, I go down to Dino's, buy a sub, and go home. The project does have a lot of good going for it. It's a very interesting concept. It's well planned, interesting architecture. I'm all for business development in the city. We certainly need it, and this could be a good one. Except for the one significant problem, which is obviously the parking. You got to blow through a lot of smoke from the testimonies to confront it, but the parking is needed. The other restaurants in the area, Tomatoes, Stephen Cookies, Lamberti's, Sophia's, they all have the same problem. They all addressed it. Most of the effort here relative to parking was trying to avoid it. Some of the statements that were made in the application kind of go further to abort it. I'll read from one of them. Quote, the proposed redevelopment of the property will have absolutely no negative impact on the surrounding properties. Another one. Proposed redevelopment of the property will be proposed redevelopment of the property will be a positive enhancement in every single respect over existing conditions. That's nonsense. For the parking problem only, I have to vote no on the application.
Rich Patterson.
As I go through the variances, there's too many variances to hit each one. But if I look at the setback requirements, most of our commercial properties, I know it's a different zone, but require zero setbacks. The zero setback on the front of this building is, again, 10 feet off the ground. The fact that you can see through this building to the bay, I understand what Mr. Berger is stating, that this sets a precedent for the two other properties that can develop here, the one to the left of the property, one to the right of the property. But I feel if you took the three properties existing now and elevated them to the FEMA requirements, you would have the same problem that you have with the new properties that are going to be there, only it would be ugly. Parking is a major problem, and I know, I think the biggest argument against this project is that Sophia and Tomatoes and Lamberti's and Stephen Cookies have parking lots. They got those lots because an old motel at a bad time was torn down. They existed. There was places to put them. They were not the billion-dollar properties we have now that nobody can afford to buy enough land to put a Tomato-sized parking lot or a Stephen Cookie-sized parking lot. It is impossible to meet our restrictions, and I know when Mr. Shropshire talked about Sea Isle City getting rid of the requirement, we couldn't do that. I mean, that would mean that Stephen Cookies could sell their parking lot, or anybody else that had a parking lot could get rid of it. We can't go backwards from what we have, but going forward, with every application, we're not going to find parking in Margate. We approved a case last month where the paper said I was joking. I wasn't joking. It would have been safer without the parking that they provided. It's just a fact of life, not in Margate, but in any community. What we've been working on since Sandy and going forward with and coming up with this bayfront development, the entire bayfront can't be developed. These three properties can be developed as they are now. This fits in exactly with, and we had businesses come in, we had realtors come in, we talked to everybody in town when we put together this proposal, not only for the whole town, but especially the Washington Avenue corridor and the Bayfront corridor. Everybody in town had the chance to be involved in this, and this, to me, fits in exactly with what we're looking for. I don't look at that 60 parking spaces. I can't agree with Mr. Capaldi that it's 70 now and it's going to be 60, so it's better, but I don't think it's going to hinder the neighborhood. The neighbors have the parking, their own parking that they have. I don't know if Mr. Swift is still here. Is he still here? No. I thought he could show Mr. Wesleski how to use Uber, but that won't work. But I don't know if it works with a flip phone, but I vote yes on the project.
Jim Galantino.
It's a tough call. I mean, 2 years ago when I put the red sticker on a building that it was unoccupiable because it was unsafe because the piling were totally gone, I felt really bad because I felt like I was putting another business out of business. And to me, it was the worst day of my life because I felt like that was a true business that really serviced the citizens of Margate, because it sold bait, it sold gas, it sold fishing rods. I felt bad. You know, Roy tried to keep it open as long as he could, but he just couldn't maintain it. We tried a jitneys. Remember last year we tried to put jitneys down to go give people parking and, you know, place so we offset the parking, and it was shot down. We tried, some of the restaurants have shuttles down there right now, which is a good asset if they're able to get a restaurant that has a shuttle. But I see a lot of people here, a lot of businessmen, a lot of attorneys, a lot of contractors. And you're here for a reason. You're here to see prosperity and goodness of the city going in a positive nature. Now, Ed, I love you, the greatest guy in the world, and I truly understand where you're coming from. But I think there's no way that we can shrink the building down to be level where you could actually see above it. It just didn't work. Even if we put residential there, it still would have been, Christ, from V zone, it would be still about 50 feet, right? With the ridge and all that. I mean, it's crazy. As to the, it's a preliminary final site plan. Is that what it is, Leo?
Major. Preliminary and final major site
plan. For C variances for front yard, side yard, combined setbacks, and parking and signs and fence, I vote in favor.
Margaret Gubernalti.
There are quite a few variances here, many variances. I understand that the DEP forces a lot of these variances, and I think it is consistent with the area. I have no issue with the signs. I think the building architecturally is beautiful. I believe that area should be developed. I don't want to see nothing happen there. It is a relic. It is in need of repair. My concern is it the poster child for redevelopment or overdevelopment? That's my concern. I feel like we're trying to put many things, you know, 10 pounds of sand in a 5-pound bag. We have, the gas is great. The bait shop is wonderful. We're trying to make a promenade. But like Ed said, you have to think about what you want Margate to look like. I think the restaurant idea is awesome. I'm just afraid that it's too big. It's too overdeveloped. This isn't Las Olas. You know, we don't have parking meters. We didn't look at considering other areas to park. It wasn't even looked at. It wasn't even a consideration. While I want it to be developed, while I think it's a beautiful building, I think we're trying to do too much there. And I think the parking is an issue. And people come down here to relax, and they want to walk, and they want to look at the beach, and they want to look at the bay, and they want to go out to dinner, but they don't want to have to fight traffic to get there. They don't want to have safety issues. I also think there's not enough information about the restaurant and what's going to be there or what the plan is. While I want to see it developed, and I know there's big investments being made here, I just feel that there could be some changes to what's being put there. So I am voting not in favor of the application.
Craig Pomisano.
What would go there? I miss my old tackle shop. But if we're going to have a partial tackle shop there, if it's approved. It's a great plan. It's ambitious. It's Bayfront. It's what we're looking for in a master plan to develop that area. It has to be that height. It can't be much smaller. All our houses are coming in at 40 feet, 30 feet plus base elevations. So the height is nothing we can really control. It is what it is. They've addressed the pedestrian safety for my concerns about children and parents walking to and fro on the promenade, and I would like to see some identification of, so people can know where to go. The site plan, the major site plans, and the front yard setbacks, and the sign setbacks, the variances for the signs are all okay. The fence is okay, the way they have the plan for the fence. The parking is an issue, but where are you going to get parking? Where will it come from? You're not going to buy a home for $1 million and tear it down and get 10 spaces. It is what it is. Everybody fights for parking spaces down there. I fight for one for my boat dock every Saturday and Sunday. And it is what it is. Years ago, we used to ride around the blocks to go to the bars, and you had to park five blocks away sometimes. It was just constant looking for a parking space. And that's kind of what it's going to be a little bit, going for parking spaces. If you want to go to the restaurant, you'll find a place to park. I'm going to vote in favor of the project.
Remy Pelosi.
I agree with basically everything everybody said. My issue is with the parking. I think the project is beautiful. I think it would be a great addition. I'm concerned about the restaurant failing, because how are people going to get there? And I know there's Uber, and I know there's bikes, and I know there's public, you know, taxis and all that, but how are you going to have 149 seats and four parking spaces and retail and a bait shop? I think it's just too big. I have no problem with the design. I have no problem with the signage or the setbacks. My issue is with the parking, because every other restaurant does have parking. Can you lease space from the city? Can you valet and put cars somewhere else? I think that needs to be explored, because I think it is important, because I can't ride my daughter to a restaurant. I have to drive her there, and she's in a wheelchair. And how am I going to get her there, and how am I going to park? There's one handicap parking spot. Everybody's got a handicap hang tag, so where do I park? So I think there's that's a big issue for me. So unfortunately, that's the reason I have to vote against the project.
Ron Grupo.
Okay, thank you. My feelings on this are that that particular building and the one next to it and that area of the bay, I think the bay right now is one of our largest assets in the city of Margate. And I think that those buildings that are there now don't do any good for Margate or for visitors or for anyone that wants to enjoy the bayfront. The parameters of what can be built there are really determined by FEMA and others as far as the elevations and those sort of things. So I think that the onus for that is being determined by others. What's before us is, do we think that the project is a good project for the bayfront area, for the city of Margate, for the residents in that area, and for the long haul? My personal feeling on that is that Mr. Gormley is investing $4 million or more that he thinks that it is, and his team thinks that it is, and the parking is what it is. You know, the other restaurants do have parking lots, but they were able to acquire them at a time when there was space available. Now there isn't really any space available. We live on an island. We can't make more ground. We have what we have. I think the project is beautiful. I think that it's going to enhance the area. I think that it's going to be a positive long haul. It's going to encourage other investors to take a look at that area and hopefully get some of the other buildings. up to the caliber that we want the Bayfront area to be. I appreciate the fact that people have come here and expressed their opinions about the parking and the inconveniences that might occur to them, and I certainly sympathize with them. But when I look at that area, I have a boat that I keep at a dock over there also. That particular area of the Bayfront needs to be fixed. And I think that this is the first step in that project, and I vote yes to approve everything.
Mike Richmond.
I really wish there was more consideration about the parking, because obviously that's the elephant in the room, like that was already stated. When I vote on a case, I like to hear what the people that actually live in the neighborhood have to say about it. Ed made a lot of good points. I thought he was really articulate. But also, there's a lot of businesses in that neighborhood. And by either speaking like Steve did or not speaking like some of the other business owners that are here did, I'm assuming that they're pretty much on board with the project. And it is true, when I first came in, the parking thing was really bothering me, and then the whole thing about all the other restaurants having lots, but you know, these days, to buy something that you, I actually drove around the neighborhood and looked at possibilities, and then you have these people that live next door. If you buy a house and tear it down and put parking there, you know, what are they going to say about it? You know what I mean? Especially if it's a couple blocks away. So I'm going to vote in favor of it.
Application passes 6-3.
We have any business?
Thank you very much for your time.
Motion to adjourn. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned.